L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Two more hours to go as we get you set with everything you need to know, an Olympic game preview and an assessment later in this second hour, a week that will feature football. We are one day away from the first football game of the National Football League preseason in 2024 under the watchful eye of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. It's the Bears and the Texans to kick off the preseason. Will we see Caleb Williams out there? Uncertain as of this moment in the Windy City. We probably won't see a ton of starters outside of that, but we'll talk about where the Bears and the Texans are entering the Hall of Fame game tomorrow and plenty of football news around the National Football League in this second hour as well.
It's an annual passing of the torch here. We get so excited for the NFL, myself included, where I will tune in tomorrow night, watch one play, and be like, man, it stinks. Get fast forward to the regular season at this point. But we all still love to see it's football back on our TV, and Caleb Williams will not be playing tomorrow because he has so much preparation that he needs to get ready for week number one. He can't possibly take three or four snaps in a game just to get that NFL first start out of the way. But we'll be watching. And also, I keep this point, much different than in the past. Like, what are you usually watching for in these early preseason games? Just football being on your TV. But now we actually get to see the execution of the special teams opening kickoff here. That's going to be fun to watch to see how some of these teams play it out and also maybe get a look-see toward what we can anticipate in the regular season. Does it mean more returns? Obviously. Does it mean more yardage, better scoring position there for the offense? We'll find out. But that's what I am intrigued by, something that I haven't looked forward to something in quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hand up. I meant our uncertain debate on if it was the right call for the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams confirmed not going to play in the Hall of Fame game. DRS, before we get to football and those debates, we look at the odds and where they moved in the World Series market following the trade deadline yesterday in Major League Baseball. We look at the six best prices or even seven best prices here. The odds as of Monday to start off this week, on the left side, the odds currently following the deadline on the right. Now, I think it's natural to question, are these all based on the market moves following the MLB trade deadline? Is it just some maneuvering in this week with some bad results from Philadelphia at home against the Yankees that have continued to trend since the All-Star break of Philly not playing great baseball? Regardless, here's where the odds were on Monday, plus 320 for the Dodgers, plus 460 for Philly, plus 550 for the Yanks, three best prices. The Yankees remain at plus 550. The Phillies move back. I think that's more because of bad baseball than the Dodgers even acquiring Jack Flaherty, but the Dodgers have the shortest number we have seen in nearly a month, 3-1 price to win the World Series.
It's a combination of all, of everything, Ben, basically. It's, let's just say, the Philadelphia Phillies out of the All-Star break playing very good baseball. The Dodgers don't acquire Flaherty. I'm not so sure the Phillies and the Dodgers wouldn't be neck and neck at that point in the odds market. But the fact that the Phillies aren't playing great baseball, the Dodgers are playing decent baseball and got that arm, that's the equivalent of, okay, now bettable here. Guys are going to be able to step in and say, you know what, I'm going to make an informed decision. I think I like the Dodgers now moving forward. I've always liked them. Now it looks like the Phillies are little bit, but we're not going to get that big of a difference because there's still 60 days left. teams like the Phillies aren't playing well, they're still going to be in the playoffs. Whether or not the Dodgers play well over the next 2 weeks, they're still going to be in the playoffs. So it's sort of that mix of what does the team look like right now, Ben, and how do we think that team is going to look once we hit the playoffs and how well that they are playing. The Phillies are in a swoon right now. Some of the other teams making a rise here in the playoffs. Yeah. This would be a fun market to watch, but I still do agree now, post-trade deadline, we were waiting on the Dodgers to make a move. They made a solid move in the starting pitcher. They deserve to be the favorites right now, and then compounding that is the Philadelphia Phillies not playing great baseball for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, it's a factor of everything as we continue to go through this list. The O's have their price shrink just by 50 cents to 6-1. The Astros remain at 13-1. The Braves did not do all that much at the deadline. They do add Jorge Soler, who won a World Series and a World Series MVP with Atlanta back in 2021. The Twins and the Guardians right now currently tied at an 18-1 price. That's tied for the seventh best number to win a World Series at this moment. Cleveland, a shutout victory yesterday over Detroit. They have that best record in the American League Central. The Twins have lost both of their games to start off this week to the New York Mets. Both the Twins and the Royals 6.5 games back of Cleveland in the American League Central. The Guardians on pace right now to win that division in a runaway as we enter the month of August. And if they keep winning baseball games, the RS in a battle with the O's for that number one overall seed in the American League postseason bracket.
Yeah, you wanted to see a little bit more out of the Guardians, but I did like the move getting an extra bat there that I do think is going to help them out. But this isn't the old trade deadlines that we looked at in the past where so many teams are out of it and it's a buyer's market. It's going to turn into now from here on out a seller's market because so many teams are in it. You're going to have to give up extra prospects just to prize some of these guys loose. And even yesterday comes down to it. You saw some of the reports coming out there, like a deal was in place for Jack Flaherty not to go to the Dodgers, but to actually go to the New York Yankees. They backed out. The Dodgers capitalized, moved in and got the player. They don't care about the medicals, apparently, from what the Yankees were looking at. But it's just so simple where you could really improve your team at the deadline and get away with it cheap. Like, man, that didn't cost all that much. Now it's costing you a lot. So moving forward, some of these teams that are all in, what does that actually mean? Because you're going to have to give up the farm just to get decent starting pitching when that wasn't the case in the past.
Look at the National League wild card race, as we have mentioned. Some of the moves not featured on those seven best prices behind are really the big moves on that market and the odds board. The Padres up to a 30-1 number. The Arizona Diamondbacks, their price shortening in a large way, 45-1. For some reason, the Mets, who are 45-1 to start off this week and have won both of their games over the Minnesota Twins, have moved back by $15 to a 60-1 number. Is it because the Mets didn't do enough at the deadline? I don't really get that one.
Yeah, I didn't research it all that much of who like they're going to be playing over the next, let's just say, 3 to 4 weeks at this point, because usually that really is the tipping point. Like, hey, the Mets are having a really good run, but oh no, let's just take a look at who they're going to be playing over the next 5 to 6 series. You're also looking at the Mets playing good baseball, as we said. Is that going to continue? Forget about who they're playing, and you're expecting them to sort of hit a lull and say, maybe you're not as good as what we anticipated over the last month to month and a half. But they didn't make a lot of moves at the deadline. I didn't think they needed to. If this team's going to get hot, it's just going to be on the bats alone at this point. And I do agree. Stick to the plan that you had. Just because you had a couple weeks here, Steve Cohen, stick to the game plan of what you're going to do in the future and not just go give up prospects and pay for whoever at the deadline on a team that I don't think too many people think actually are going to compete for a World Series in the first place.
This is the time of year where you go to Tankathon and you see the remaining schedule in terms of its strength in Major League Baseball. The Mets, one of the 10 easiest, 8th easiest schedule still out there in Major League Baseball, 4th easiest in the National League. Not sure why that is the case. Maybe some more value and some bigger prices at 60-1 for the New York Mets. It's a competitive National League wild card race, as we have shared. But the Mets and the Padres right now, both a half-game lead over Arizona. Those 6 teams all separated by just 2.5 games. The Braves, Padres, Mets, Cardinals, D-backs, and Pirates. How about the Dodgers? The biggest move at the deadline, the acquisition of Jack Flaherty. LA has been the best team and the favorite, at least, to win a World Series all year long. A little bit of movement on the best record in Major League Baseball, down by over $2, because the Phillies have started to struggle. Now the Phillies tied alongside the Guardians for the best record in Major League Baseball, both 65 and 42. The Dodgers, 63 and 45, just a game and a half behind Philadelphia at this moment. Donnie, the acquisition of Jack Flaherty, does it truly make the, or does it truly change your evaluation of LA in terms of winning a World Series this year?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Because we knew they were talented enough to go to the playoffs, regardless of who they traded for at the deadline, and talented enough to possibly win a World Series. You just wanted to see an extra move as a starting pitcher down the stretch to help them, and they did that. But if they would have, let's just say, go out and made those moves like they did in the past, like, oh, we're just going to show up with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner at the deadline, they weren't able to do that. And that saved Major League Baseball, because if we didn't have all these wild cards, the Dodgers probably would have got three starting pitchers at the deadline, and away they go to the World Series.
And again, they still await the health on the IL that could really change the difference. NFL news and notes next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL news and notes around training camp live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid, the road to kickoff. Maybe Donnie and I get a little bit of shine as we break down this segment. Robert Saleh meeting with the media yesterday, of course, the head coach of the New York Jets, saying that Aaron Rodgers, at the age of 40 years old and recovering from the torn Achilles last year, is unlikely to play in this preseason. All right.
Yeah, well, let's get it started here at the foundational point here, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers not playing, is it a really big deal for me? But you just saw a class action lawsuit come through and won by the lawyers for the NFL game, or the season ticket. Not the ticket, what's it called? NFL Sunday ticket, excuse me, right? Getting money back. Yeah, I was a season ticket holder for 15 years for the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's what I'm getting into it here. Aaron Rodgers not going to play in the preseason. Why do you pay full price for that? Like, when nobody plays, why do you pay full price for 2 to 4 home games in the preseason, which is absolutely outrageous? So I look at Aaron Rodgers not playing. I don't care. I don't have season tickets anymore. And if a Jets fan doesn't have season tickets, they shouldn't care either. But why should we care about preseason and pay those fees that we pay on the season tickets? Because quite frankly, let's just say if you're a Jets fan and your one ticket costs $200 per game, you know what's going to take place? When you play the Bills at MetLife Stadium, it's $200. But you also have that same $200 fee in the preseason where nobody's going to pay. So how about that, Aaron Rodgers? Let's sue Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets and the NFL and get that money back from the preseason, because apparently it doesn't matter to them. Why are we paying full prices anyway for those games, Ben? How about that slander?
I had no idea where that was going. Clearly, you were thinking about what you wanted to say when I stopped a little bit quick right there as I was reading the tweet. All right, Donnie made his point about preseason play and how we feel about it. Of course, this week, the New York Jets putting on pads for the first time. There was the viral social media clip of Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson getting into it. They're just trying to iron things out, it would seem, for the Jets during this offseason. It's not like Aaron Rodgers needs to prove anything during preseason, and you want to keep the guy as healthy as possible. I will say this, though, Donnie. The Jets were, of course, the feature of Hard Knocks last year. How could they not have been the storyline that was Aaron Rodgers playing for a new team for the first time in his 19-year NFL career? And the thing that was bemoaned from a football perspective, not a dramatic perspective, but a football perspective, was the Jets' offensive line during training camp, during joint practices, during preseason games. They draft Olufashinu out of Penn State. He will hope to help that offensive line. But that's a huge thing to monitor for the New York Jets throughout their preseason games, regardless of who is under center.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I don't think he needs to get snaps, but there is something about having camaraderie and getting some things worked out in a game perspective. Now, you are going to have joint practices. You could do some of those things, but nothing beats game day where you're going through that entire routine. And it's not as if they're going to start, as I always like to say, against the Arizona Cardinals at home, like, hey, soft landing spot, let's get it together. You go right into the fire on the road, game number one at San Francisco, where you know that front seven is going to be out for blood. I would like to see maybe a quarter of work between Arizona Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line. He doesn't have to throw the football like, hey, I'm not going to take a five or seven step drop. You don't have to do that. Quick slants out there. Get the protections correct. Get used to it here. Because you can't say this. Well, Aaron Rodgers got hurt week 14 last year. Aaron Rodgers got hurt within the first three plays of the season. So good luck again this year when Aaron Rodgers is out there for those first three plays and Mr. Bosa and company are collapsing that pocket right away. Like, oh, maybe we should have had a little bit more practice on game day.
I mean, when you think about it, right, for Aaron Rodgers, Monday night football game to open up the season, it has to be a harrowing experience. Yeah. 5.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers in Santa Clara on that opening Monday night, week number one. How about the quarterback situation in Denver? Sean Payton meeting with the media yesterday, pretty much saying that all three quarterbacks in the QB room, the rookie, Bo Nix, out of Oregon, the 12th overall draft pick. Jarrett Stidham, a veteran backup, and Zach Wilson, now in the Mile High City, have been taking various reps with the ones and the starters at different points throughout training camp. Payton finishing with this, quote, no news to announce there. I know you're looking for it. Donnie, when all is said and done, who's that week one starting quarterback for Denver?
If you stink and you draft a quarterback in the first round, he's got to be the guy that typically gets under center in week one. Now, there are extreme circumstances, like we talk about Drake May in New England, which I don't think it's right because they might open up the season 0-7. You don't want to do that to a rookie. Right. But I just figure, like, where Denver is at this point, just let Bo Nix go out there and get after it. And it's not one of those scenarios like, hey, you know what? He only started 11 college football games. He's real green. Bo Nix has played like 16 lifetimes in college football and had a lot of success. Let him spin out there. What have you got to lose, Sean Payton?
It's going to be Bo Nix. I actually feel pretty comfortable with saying that. We have talked a lot about this DRS. There are a couple of quarterback room markets that you can bet. Not everyone features a rookie. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, for sure. 100% going to be the week one starters in Chicago and Washington, respectively. I would say Bo Nix around a 98.5-99% chance. In fact, just follow the odds. Three rookie quarterbacks of the six that were taken in the top 12 of the 2024 NFL draft have a season-long passing yards prop, including Bo Nix. And it's Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams who are the other two. And I would just say this. Sean Payton, known as an offensive mastermind, 28-50 and a hook. If Bo Nix is going to start from week number one and play something like 15, 16, 17 games this year, even though the Broncos have just a measly win total of 5.5, Bo Nix is going over that number of 28-50.5.
Oh, he should, of course. If he's 17 games, you expect them not to be a great football team, which means more throwing in the fourth quarter. And also, you want to put your quarterback in spots where you can actually get game film together to teach him lessons, which means, hey, look, even though we're down 14 points late in this fourth quarter, we're not handing the football to get out of here. We're actually going to go try to drive down and score and get a little bit more mileage on your arm. I always love that when you say it, because the question is going to be, it's not like, hey, if he starts game number one and plays 17 weeks, is he going to cover 28-50? He absolutely is going to do that. You're just trying to guess right where his season doesn't start in week eight, right at that point. So I'm with you on that. He starts from day number one. I don't think you pull him in week number five if he's struggling, because otherwise you do way more damage than you can begin. And Payton's a good coach. He's done good things with quarterbacks in the past. I think he gets over that as well.
Russ wasn't prolific last year, 3,070 yards, still well over that number. And he only threw for more than 250 three times, more than 300 twice, very early in the year. Hall of Fame game brief now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It is the eve of August. It is the eve of football. Let me just tell you this. August 1st comes around tomorrow, the start of this show. I might shed a tear. I'm going to be so fired up because August 1st means a couple of things. First, in the National Football League, it is our first NFL preseason game of 2024, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. In August also means a month in which college football is going to be played. August 24th, that is week zero. Come on, DRS. We absolutely love it. The Hall of Fame game tomorrow in Canton between the Bears and the Texans. And some news for Chicago yesterday. The extension of wide receiver DJ Moore about to enter year number two with this Bears franchise. Four-year deal with $110 million, $82.6 million guaranteed, only trailing A.J. Brown in the big money of Justin Jefferson. Third most guaranteed money for a wide receiver currently in the National Football League. That also the richest extension the Chicago Bears have ever given out in franchise history.
Bears spending some money, making some shrewd moves. The vibes are high in the Windy City. Imagine this, a wide receiver in the middle of his prime wanting a new contract and getting a new contract before the season starts to make everybody in that locker room happy. Couldn't be the Cincinnati Bengals at this point. So that's where I go immediately. When I see wide receivers get paid, I just go, ha-ha! Cincinnati, we're fading you all season long. Uh-huh. That's how I'm doing it.
Okay, DRS, I like the internalization for Cincinnati there, but for Chicago, a prudent move financially. It's what we talk about all the time, right? DJ Moore was still under contract for this year and the following year, but you do the extension early to not only keep him with the franchise, keep him happy, reward him for a great opening season in Chicago when you've got a bright and promising future with a new rookie quarterback in the face of the franchise in Caleb Williams. You want everybody pulling on the same rope, and you can average out a very rich contract for the extension over the final 2 years of his current deal and make it make financial sense along the way. We'll talk about Bears franchise history in just a moment, but Caleb Williams is not going to play tomorrow. It is confirmed in the Hall of Fame game. He was asked earlier this week, and he said, I want to, but I trust whatever the decision the coaches are making. Do you agree, DRS, that Caleb Williams should not be playing in the Hall of Fame game?
Well, I always think rookies should play to sort of, you know, get their feet wet in the NFL and go through that game day, you know, putting on the uniform, getting ready, anticipation. I always think that's something. But sometimes people are short-sighted in this because when you see that Caleb Williams isn't going to play, if he does play, that doesn't mean he just gets reps. That means the entire starting offense, offensive linemen, tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs must all play with them because you're not sending your superstar rookie out there with fifth-string guys that are going to be, you know, selling insurance in 2 weeks at this point. You need everybody in alignment here, and that's why the starters don't play. If one doesn't play, particularly a quarterback, look, that sends the domino down. He is going to play in the preseason. Otherwise, that would be ludicrous. But I just think the Bears are saying, look, I'm not sending my starting line out there to go with him just to have a series here. We'll get to that at a later time. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't really either, right? I think you could look at it from a glass half full or a glass half empty approach. Anytime you put the face of the franchise out there for a meaningless exhibition game, despite its significance in Canton, and he has a risk of injury, that is always something that you are going to proceed with caution. And it's not like he is going to miss out on one of the preseason games for Chicago. Both the Texans and the Bears will play three more preseason games after this exhibition that is the Hall of Fame game. So he's got plenty of time to get his feet wet in the National Football League, albeit in preseason. Really good point as well, Donnie. You're not going to put Caleb Williams out there with the reserves. He is not going to throw the football to at any point throughout this season, despite the fact that he is just a rookie. We'll have plenty more Hall of Fame handicaps in coming tomorrow in our show, but let's take an early look at the line here. A 1.5-point spread in favor of the Texans, the over-under 31.5. So it is going to be the Davis Mills show on one side for Houston against Tyson Bagent and the boys on the other side for Chicago. We're not going to see C.J. Stroud. We're not going to see many of the starters and the significant players for either of these two teams tomorrow.
Yes, and again, what we're looking forward to most is to see how this kickoff rule is going to take place in the NFL. True. And can it lead to more scoring? But you're always going to see those high 20s, low 30 price numbers here on these early preseason games because the goal for the NFL teams used to be, let's get the guys in shape. The goal is now to, can we just keep this clock running and get out of here without any injuries, any backups? That's the way it is.
It is. More Hall of Fame game chatter tomorrow, an Olympic assessment next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An Olympic assessment live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid featuring Sporting News' Carlin Gay. Joining us here on this Wednesday, a huge day of Olympic basketball for Team USA against the squad that gave the Americans probably their biggest scare and their biggest test during that five-game exhibition match. It is South Sudan. Carlin, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday.
Bankroll Benny and Duckett's Donnie, good to be with you guys this early morning. Happy to be in the greatest country in the world, too.
We are very, very happy to have you here. So before we get to the game breakdown, the second for the U.S. at the Olympic Games in Paris against South Sudan in just a moment. Here's where we stand right now. A ton of action yesterday in Group A, the team that is favored to win the silver, perhaps. Canada has won both of its first two games. You do get a point for a loss. So Australia and Spain have three. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Greece yet to win a game at the Olympiad. Germany off to a perfect 2-0 start. The host nation in France off to a 2-0 start despite a scare yesterday in overtime against the Japanese in Group C action on this Wednesday. Carlin, outside of Team USA and Group C, what has stood out to you most about the Olympic basketball on the men's side so far in Paris?
I'm actually pretty shocked that Greece hasn't been able to pull off a win just yet. You know, you have one of the best players in the world, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you asked anybody, he's one of the top five players on the planet. And, you know, regardless of what's around him, he's able to elevate the team to a level where they should be overachieving. And this Greece team is pretty solid when you look at where the players are coming from. You know, some of them are playing high-level Europe. A lot of the players have been together for a number of years, and they have a pretty good coach, right, in Spanoulis, who was a former player and knows what it takes to get it done at this level. So I'm pretty shocked that Giannis hasn't been able to get them over the top, and it's going to be very hard for them to get to the quarterfinals round. Like, it's a must-win scenario now the rest of the way if they plan on standing on a podium at the end of the day.
Carl, if we take a look at the standings right now, Group A and Group B have each played two games apiece. In Group C, we're still waiting on the second games here. So if we sort of re-rack the tournament itself, Team USA obviously a prohibitive favorite here at a minus 500 price, followed by Canada, Germany, and France. If we're looking at these teams through playing two games, or sometimes a minimum of one, what have we seen that we liked from maybe a team or two and maybe disliked? Are there any high risers that maybe changed your opinion from pre-tournament here to now tournament action?
Yeah, I'm honestly interested in what Germany has been able to do in the tournament. Yes, I know they won the World Cup a year ago. You know, they were able to go through that tournament unscathed, and it's relatively the same unit that is playing in this Olympiad. But what's different about this is the fact that the rest of the teams are different, right? Canada has Jamal Murray. They did not have them. They did not have him last time around. The U.S. has a completely different roster outside of Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton. So what Germany's been able to do so far in this tournament is solidifying, like, hey, we won the World Cup and we mean business. We're here to win a medal. If it's going to be gold, silver, or bronze, we'll find out. But I do have more eyes on what Germany has been able to do. I was a little down on them. Honestly, I didn't think they would make it out of the group stage. But here they are. They're working towards the goal of making it to the podium.
The Wagner brothers, Mo and Franz, playing very, very well so far for Team Germany. All right, let's get to the second day of action in Group C in men's Olympic basketball. Of course, it was the fourth of five games in the exhibition match that caught everybody by surprise. It would have been one of the biggest stunners in international basketball in history. South Sudan and the United States. In London, the U.S. prevails 101-100 thanks to LeBron James. But South Sudan had many opportunities, Carlin, in the final 10 seconds to win that game outright, booked as a 40-point underdog plus against the Americans. Now this game is for real. The United States, a 28.5-point favorite against South Sudan, who won its Olympic opener by 11 points, 90-79 on Sunday afternoon against Puerto Rico. So a 28.5-point spread that is obviously varied a ton from what the line was for the exhibition match just a few days ago, Carlin. 31.5-point spread in favor of Team USA. Everybody remembering the Olympic exhibition match. How competitive do you expect today's game to be in Paris?
Yeah, the South Sudan game for South Sudan was a little bit of a gift and a curse, right? They got a chance to go toe-to-toe with Team USA. They had a chance to win that game really late, as you mentioned, and they got that confidence coming into the Olympic Games and saying, like, we could compete with the best team on the planet. The downside of that is now the best team on the planet knows that you could compete. So they're not going to walk into this game, you know, kind of giving you an opportunity to get off on the right foot. So that 29-point spread is very interesting, especially in FIBA basketball, because point difference matters, right? It's not enough to just go 3-0 in the group, which Team USA should. The point difference is going to be the determining factor of whether or not you play the eighth seed or the seventh seed or however it shakes out in the quarterfinals. And with Canada off to a good start, France off to a good start, you gotta not only win games, you gotta win them impressively. You gotta run the score up. So I expect Team USA to get close to that 29-point mark. Honestly, I would not touch that, but I would touch the total under because I don't think that South Sudan is going to hit enough threes. They hit a ton of threes in that pre-tournament game. Mario Shea could not miss. So I expect that to come back down to earth, and I expect Team USA to lock in defensively. So that under is what I'm looking at. The spread, I'm a little iffy on it, but if you put me back against the wall, I'm going to say that they're going to cover that. But I'm not as certain as I am with the under.
The reason why that three-point line is in there, it's the ultimate equalizer. If you can get hot, sometimes there's nothing the other team can certainly do about it. Now, if we are looking at this game overall, we did have a little bit of controversy here in the past game. Jason Tatum did not play, whether it was communication issues, whether he wasn't in the game plan, we don't know. But he is going to play today, as they've said. What's the outlook for Jason Tatum heading into this basketball game? And certainly, how many minutes is he going to get here?
Listen, this is more about Steve Kerr to me than it is Jason Tatum. You know, if Steve Kerr, you make a decision as a head coach, stand in that decision. Yes, you have 12 of the greatest players in the NBA on one team. Not everyone can get into game, right? It's a 40-minute game. Kevin Durant rolling. I think Steve Kerr should have came out after the game and said, hey, Kevin Durant didn't miss. What do you guys want me to do? Pull a guy that is on fire? It doesn't make sense, right? Like, so Jason Tatum should have sat on the bench, clapped his hands, waved his towel, and got the A-plus for the group effort, right, at that result. So I think Steve Kerr right here is playing with fire because now you're to manage egos more so than manage the game itself, and that's where you get into trouble. It's not going to show up now, right now, guys, right? Like, South Sudan's not going to beat Team USA. Puerto Rico's not going to beat Team USA. But once you get to the knockout stage, all those teams that you can walk through in the group stage, they're gone. And that's where you have to really hone in X's and O's wise and work someone's ego not getting into a game. Yes, I know he's an all-star, all-NBA player. That has to go to the side, and you have to get out there and win the basketball game. So I am actually disappointed in Steve Kerr for making the declarative statement ahead of time saying, hey, Jason Tatum's going to play. Let the game dictate that. You don't go out and say that because now that ruins the rotation, and that's very important when you have a small amount of time to build that chemistry.
Carlin, very well stated, I believe, as well, because Steve Kerr, after the opener against Serbia, the Americans dominant, they won by 26 against Nikola Jokic and the Serbians covering as a 13.5-point favorite. Steve Kerr came out and said, man, I'm such an idiot for not playing Jason Tatum. Steve, just stand by your decision. Jason Tatum today has his own player prop featured category, 10-plus points at plus 120. Carlin, only a minute left in this segment. For the other superstars on display today between the United States and South Sudan, who do you expect to step up as we take a look at the player props?
Yeah, take the under on a Jason Tatum player prop. He's not getting in there and doing much. Carlin Jones, if there's a player prop out there, I would look at him because this is a guy who's obviously he's an American born. He's a naturalized South Sudanese player. Here's a guy who's playing in Serbia this year coming up. He's going to want to make some noise and potentially be coming off a bench at some point for an NBA team. This is an audition for him, more so than just an opportunity to win a game against Team USA. So whether they lose, which they probably will lose, if he has a big game, maybe that opens up GM's eyes. And you know the cap restrictions in the NBA now, maybe that opens up the door to get a cheaper option like a Carlin Jones.
Carlin Gay from Sporting News joining us here on this Wednesday. A Wonder Olympic basketball breakdown ahead of Team USA in South Sudan. Carlin, thank you very much. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why do you do that?
Oh, we have a good time around these parts, don't we? My goodness, man. Yeah, there we go. All right. It's a good start to the morning. Get the people flowing. Get them involved.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've said this many a times here on the Early Line. Maybe this is your first day tuning in to TEL on the Sports Grid Network. But my co-host, Donnie Wrightside, has a natural gift that some might call a superpower to wait to hit a one-line zinger that cracks me up until there's about 3 seconds left of our commercial break right before our faces pop up back on air. All right, we're going to go around Major League Baseball following the trade deadline yesterday in MLB. Jack Flaherty, now back in his native Los Angeles as a member of the LA Dodgers, should fortify that starting rotation for Los Angeles. Tyler Glass now yesterday, DRS. When he left the game, the Dodgers were ahead in San Diego. 7 innings of work, 3 earned, given up. The Dodgers have actually lost both of the starts that Glass now has made since his return from the IL following the All-Star break. He hasn't been bad. The Dodgers lost his first start 2-1 last week. And yesterday, the Padres rally in the ninth against Blake Treinen, trying to hold on for the save. Manny Machado, his second homer of the day. Jackson Merrill homers to send the game to extras. San Diego walks it off. But I think if there is any hole that you can poke in the Dodgers right now, being that true World Series favorite, it is the front line of that starting staff. Not so much right now, but come those significant and meaningful series in October, the addition of Jack Flaherty has to help that assessment as of right now.
No, it does. And, you know, times in the past you say this, and sometimes it is correct. Hey, some of the moves at the deadline, the best move that you're going to make is a guy that you're just getting back healthy. Like, Glass now has been fine. He will continue to be fine. Flaherty just adds that solidness where you say to yourself, every fifth day that he takes the mound, you're probably going to be favored. Now you say, Donnie, the Dodgers are favored just about every single time. I understand that. But now you look at that minus 125 price, goes back up to that minus 150s and minus 160s. Also, when you take a look here at who is not in the lineup, Freddie Freeman hasn't been in the lineup the past couple games. Hopefully he gets back sooner than later. And also Mookie Betts has not been in that lineup for the better part of a month here. He will come back. This is a really good baseball team that added a quality pitcher at the deadline, something they needed to do. So all signs point to having a very good August and September for the Dodgers once they actually get healthy, Ben.
All right, enough about us and our breakdown of the MLB trade deadline yesterday. Time to win with Zinn. Mark Zinno in his Major League Baseball map joins us here on this Wednesday on the Early Line. Zinno, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Gentlemen, always great to be with you. DRS, you're buying on the Dodgers? I think you might be a little bit out over your skis on this one.
Now, here's the thing, though, Mark. Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I'm actually doing this secretly because it hurts. Like, I'm just saying, you know what? I'm not going to say Phillies right now. They're hurting me too badly. Because right now, if the Phillies were unbeaten out of the break, I'd be like, man, the Dodgers didn't make enough moves here. They can't compete with the Phillies. So it's a little bit of my heart hurting right now, me back in the Dodgers.
So, Zeno, who are you buying in on in the National League if it's not Los Angeles?
I mean, is it crazy to say that I'll buy in on the Arizona Diamondbacks at least to get into the playoffs?
Ooh, that's spicy.
I mean,
that's spicy. Look,
if you look
team not even in the postseason picture right now.
Well, I think they're going to get there. I mean, in reality, like, who other than the Brewers, who in the NL Central is better than the Diamondbacks right now? Who gives you confidence that they are going to be better than the Dodgers? The St. Louis Cardinals have a negative 44 run differential. They're 88 runs behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Pittsburgh Pirates are minus 4. The Reds are plus 44, which is the same number that the Diamondbacks are, yet they can't seem to get above 500 for some reason. So we know the Cubs are dead. In reality, I think the D-backs' chief competition is the Mets and the Braves. After that, them and the Padres, I'm sure will lock horns, but I think those may be your three or your four wildcard teams comes from Brave, Mets, Padres, and D-backs when it's all said and done.
Mark, when you're taking a look at some of these teams that made moves, obviously up to the deadline yesterday, did any team surprise you yesterday, or was there one team that you said maybe that, boy, they didn't do enough at that point?
Well, I don't think the Yankees did enough. Chisholm aside, they need more. That's not a team right now that I think has World Series aspirations. Now, again, they're back to hitting the baseball, which is, you know, refreshing to see.
Yeah.
So they're, at least they can get through the post, get to the postseason with relative ease. But I don't know if I trust them with this starting staff. And now Cole has got general body soreness. What is this? The NHL? We just have like random descriptions of injuries now. We don't know what it is. He's, I mean, I have general body soreness, but I'm old. So there's that. I don't think the Royals did enough. I think they needed more, especially for a team that is that bad on the road. I don't know that they, for a team that started out so well this year, that really looked like a playoff team, they feel like they're starting to fade more than not. And if Texas had serious hopes on making the playoffs, they certainly didn't do anything that really moved the needle.
Mm.
Interesting. Interesting takes there, Zeno, as always. How about some of the guys that were not dealt on deadline day? Blake Snell remains in San Francisco. Garrett Crochet remains in Chicago. Tarek Skubal, still the ace of the staff for the Detroit Tigers. Luis Robert, he stays in Chicago as well. Zeno, in the final minute of this segment, of the guys listed on that screen that were not dealt on deadline day, who surprised you the most to remain with their current ball club?
Well, Crochet took himself out of the game by demanding a contract from a team he didn't even play for yet. So there is that. But Skubal was interesting because you would have figured that the Tigers would have moved him. But it kind of felt like they were in a very advantageous position, as if to say, look, if we don't get the offer we like, we'll just keep this guy and run it back with him next year because he's really darn good and we might be a little bit better with a closer step to the playoffs. So I felt like they were in a very win-win spot from the standpoint. They didn't have to deal him, but if they got wowed with an offer they really liked, of course they would have sent him.
So now we'll look at the day after deadline day. Games on this Wednesday around Major League Baseball in Philadelphia and various other spots around the bigs today. With Mark Zeno, it's time to win. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A breakdown around the bigs on this Wednesday, live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. A ton of day baseball that starts a little bit after noon Eastern time. That is also a feature in Philadelphia. It's game three between the Yankees and the Phillies. The Phillies have lost the opening two against New York. The Phillies are just 3-8 since the All-Star break. It's Donnie's team versus Zeno's team. But Philadelphia is a home favorite at the break today at minus 124. 9.5 is the total. Zeno, what do you like in Philadelphia?
Oh, God. By the way, if you guys heard of that pitcher who's starting for the Yankees today, yeah, his name is Nestor Cortez. He's a slob, okay? And he is going to get rocked today. He's got a 6.18 ERA. Ooh. Road, which is 3.5 runs high, over 3.5 runs higher than it is at home. Opposing hitters are batting .313 against him. By the way, do you guys know who's starting for the Phillies? His name is Christopher Sanchez. You know what arm he throws with, guys? Lefty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Yankees do? Hit lefties. See Sean Manea and what's there? Jose Quintana from the Mets when they couldn't score any runs against those guys. Why? Because they're lefties. So this is Phillies all the way at a very manageable number here. I mean, look, I always ask the dumb question in betting. Phillies aren't really going to get swept at home, are they? Well, yes, theoretically, they actually could. But, you know, I don't see it happening. I like the Phillies today.
Favorite all three games, the Philadelphia Phillies, hoping to get one of these. And also, if you like weather conditions that are conducive to hitting, close to 90 degrees at first pitch, muggy conditions, double-digit winds blowing out to right all field. Let's see if we can get some runs. That's why we're posting at a 9.5. If we do get to those grimace Mets here, they're taking on the Minnesota Twins once again today. Pablo Lopez, Luis Severino, a total in this game, 8.5, and a slight favorite at a minus 112 price to the Minnesota Twins. Do the Twins bounce back today, or do they struggle once again at the plate against the Mets?
I mean, guys, like, I should have mentioned the Mets before, but are they for real now? Because they look really for real. They look very for real. Yep. They feel like this is a team that's going to make the playoffs. That said, Luis Severino against Pablo Lopez feels like one of the more lopsided pitching matchups I've seen in the last year or two, despite Severino's decent numbers this year. Seems to have gotten him back on track. He's not a guy that I put a whole lot of faith in. Granted, he's been a lot better at home this year, 4-1 with a 2.8 ERA. He's keeping opposing hitters in the ballpark for the most part. So this is a spot here for Severino at home where it feels like he may have an ability to excel. I would look to a first five under. I don't expect a lot of runs to be scored here. Much like we saw last night in that 2-0 game, I think both of these lineups are not, we know the Mets don't hit as well at home as they do on the road, and the Twins don't really hit that well ever anywhere, but particularly on the road. I look at this as a lower scoring game. But again, with the Mets, like, they're winning high scoring games, they're winning low scoring games. It's like pretty legit, guys.
Yeah. The New York Mets 15-2 over Minnesota on Monday, 2-0 yesterday, looking for the sweep. The Mets have won 7 of their last 9. New York is 17-9 in July. And Zeno, their World Series price in the last 48 hours has gotten longer by $15. Make it make sense, but maybe some value on the Amazons. The rubber match today in Milwaukee. The Braves, a slight road favorite with Chris Sale on the bump against the Milwaukee Brewers. -126. Over under of 7.5. Milwaukee won the opener. Atlanta even the set yesterday. Who takes the series in the rubber match on this Wednesday afternoon?
I mean, this is a relatively discounted price for Chris Sale, isn't it? Like, we don't see Chris Sale, play these kind of numbers all that often. So it's very tough for me to ignore that. Atlanta seems like, since the All-Star break, their offense has shown up a little bit better. Top 12 in runs scored since returning from the break, which makes me feel like maybe they're starting to turn a corner here a little bit. Freddy Peralta, who starts from Milwaukee, higher ERA at home this year than he does on the road. I kind of find it hard not to back Chris Sale here. Both of these teams have really good bullpens, so they sort of cancel each other out. But if you're asking me, and again, I know that Milwaukee hits lefties well, and they certainly score more runs at home than most teams in Major League Baseball, but don't we default to the Cy Young favorite here as having the edge?
I would probably think so. Third highest over percentage in MLB. That's the Brew Crew, 57% of their games. Still the highest under percentage in MLB. That's the Braves, 61.4% of their games. Mark Zeno, as always, thank you for being here on this Wednesday. Hour 3 is up next on Sportsbook.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.